Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Spring training continues in Arizona with pitchers and catchers in full swing, and one pitcher on each side of town is looking to put a rough 2018 behind them. Can Tyler Chatwood regain his control and be a solid starter for the Cubs, or is he destined to return to the bullpen? Meanwhile, Lucas Giolito is attacking the mental side of the game. Can he unlock his big potential? Meanwhile, David Bodie proved to be a clutch player last season. Now he wants to be a solid everyday star in 2019. He'll join us to talk about his goals for this season and the moment he almost gave up on his baseball dreams. That's all today. Sports Talk Live continues from spring training. Today, we're once again in Glendale, Arizona, spring training home of the White Sox. The show starts right now. And welcome into a rainy Glendale, Arizona, but it is a lot warmer out here than back in Chicago. This is Sports Talk Live, brought to you by our great partners with the Chevy Silverado. Next to me is Teddy Greenstein, Scott Merkin, MLB.com, our Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago, and I'm David Kaplan. All right, the weather is not cooperating today. I think the White Sox and the Cubs, I know the Cubs did, I believe the White Sox cut workouts short as well.
Yeah, the White Sox had to. The rain has been here all day, so not too much was done, but hopefully it'll warm up. Not next week. It's supposed to be in the 50s here all next week here in Arizona, so not exactly baseball weather, but well, I guess we'll take it. We're from Chicago.
Usually in Arizona, you get like February, you get some of this garbage weather, and then March straight on 80 degrees every day. So you put up a little coldness and rain now to get to the
few more
days. And you get the sun in March.
All right, we keep checking Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every 2 seconds there's a different tweet. This guy said Manny Machado met with the San Diego GM. Another one says, no, I'm hearing it's the White Sox. Are you tired of it as a reporter?
No, because I think it's good material. And honestly, anytime we write about Manny Machado, those are the stories that people want to read. We asked Rick Hahn about it yesterday, and he referred to a Reddit account of Wetbutt.
Wetbutt23.
So I'm waiting for Wetbutt to reveal something.
Katy Perry didn't make the
exactly.
He wouldn't go there on that one. Yeah, yeah.
But it is intriguing, and as much as you know, we talked to the other players about what they're doing to get ready for the season, the Machado thing is what hangs over everything.
It's intriguing, but it needs to come to an end at some point. I mean, I understand that these guys are veterans. They're 26. They've been around for a long time. They know what they have to do to get ready for spring training. But I would think at some point you got to figure what the deal is, take it. And you want to have a few weeks with your team, right, your new team. I know these guys know each other from all sorts of things, you know, but you would think like 3 weeks to a month you'd need to kind of assimilate into the season and get ready. So, you know, at some point they're going to have to make a decision and pick a team here.
To me, it feels like next week. That's when things will start to happen. I think that's when when position players report, that's when the first games are going to start at the end of the week. That's how it feels to me. So let's not get caught up in Wetbutt 23 rumors just yet. Next week will be the time.
Yeah, Buster only said today he thought right around the 1st of March is when those two guys will sign, maybe a couple of days before. I would imagine that they're still out there saying, no, the money's not enough, so we're just going to keep calling your bluff.
I understand the concept of neither wants to be the first, right? Because whoever goes first, advantage to the second player, because the team that doesn't get Bryce Harper, let's say, will want Manny Machado even more. I do understand it from that perspective, but yeah, I mean, at a certain point. I mean, it was one thing when, you know, Frank Thomas or Sammy used to stroll in a little bit late, but now it seems like players.
Welcome to my house.
Welcome to my house. But players should probably be here a little.
Yeah, I think what's holding this up, there's a lot of things. Clearly, there's just the economics of it all. But then you have Lozano and Boris, two very high-powered clients.
And not close.
Not close. I didn't want to go there. You did. But, yeah, you're right. They're not exactly close. They're competitive with each other. And then you have all these other free agents, big-time free agents, next year, the year after, and the year after. And I think what Machado and Harper, they're almost going to set the market for all of these guys. So they're going to wait this out until they feel like they've got the very, very, very best deal. Are they going to get it? I don't know. I just don't feel like that 10-year contract's going to happen. I think we're done with that in today's modern game.
It's amazing to me to watch these two guys say, well, I can't let Teddy sign because he's going to get money. If I sign first, he's going to beat me. You go back to football – Aaron Donald signed, and a day or two later, Khalil Mack usurped his spot as the highest-paid defensive player of all time. And I didn't hear Aaron Donald go, oh, God, I should have waited a couple of more days. Someone's always going to beat your salary.
But let me ask you, why aren't more teams in on these guys? I don't understand it. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Look at a Bryce Harper as an example. Would he not kill it at Yankee Stadium? Mm-hmm. Would he not, first of all, in New York, second of all, with that short porch in right field, he'd check swing his way to 45 home runs out there. And I understand that there's a roster configuration and luxury tax and everything else, and you know that kind of thing. You don't want to go over the budget you've set. But it just seems strange to me that there's that these two guys who are the premium free agents that everyone's been targeting for years, there's like two teams in apparently on each one.
Because maybe they set the bar, their agents set such a high bar, the other teams are like, forget about it, because they want 10 years, $350
million.
And
that's the thing on the years. I think the front offices are not colluding. They're being smart.
True.
Got these analytical, economic-driven front offices going, yeah, you know what? The first 5 years of that deal will be fine. I'm not paying you the last 5 years.
But they're 26 also. I mean, you're not talking about a 31-year-old free agent.
The risk of making a terrible long-term contract, I think, is too great. And plus, these players are really good and have massive upside, but both big-time flaws.
Well, it's also, if it's a 10-year contract, you could say, how many GMs last for 10 years? I mean,
your problem, not mine.
Yeah, I know. I'll be good for the first six, and if there's a problem in 6 years, then
okay,
I'll deal
Mike
with it.
Okay, if Mike Trout was a free agent right now, I guarantee you he would not be waiting. Mike Trout just wants to play baseball. He's not caught up doing ads, and he'd get whatever he wanted.
Okay, but that's what you're saying, and I believe in what you're saying. But weren't we saying the same thing about Machado and Harper last year?
They both have flaws. Mike Trout does not.
I know what you're saying, but I still think like this year thing is going to be, the long-term contract will be an issue next year as well, 10 years. 7 years seems like the sweet spot. I think you can get someone for seven, but this, what did Stan sign for, 12 years, $320 million? That's not going to happen.
If you're talking Harper Machado, is it an obligation to go with the biggest deal? What if, let's just say hypothetically, the biggest deal is not the team that you had in mind that you want to play for, but the team that you want to play for is offering a 3 or 4 year deal with a pretty good AAV? Do you take that, or do you feel the obligation to take the longest term, biggest contract?
You'd think they'd go for AAV, average annual value, Merck, because look, they can hit the jackpot again. Yeah, I mean, they'll be what, 29 when they can then go for another 6 or 7 year deal?
He went to Northwestern.
Yeah,
he knows
those things. Well, Michigan's a pretty good school too.
Not bad.
All right, so my question is, if you are a team like the White Sox, if I'm Manny Machado, if I truly am the guy that they're going to spend that kind of money on, I'd look and go, I could be the man there. In that great sports town,
absolutely.
This team is crying for their level of a John Lester, what he did in 14 for the Cubs signing. I can't understand what he'd be waiting on.
And, obviously, they've got his brother-in-law. They've got John Jay, his buddy. I think everything is being set up to reel him in. So, come on, Manny, let's go.
Now, we've heard otherwise, but is the issue that he wants to play shortstop? Is that something that's in there when you have a shortstop like Tim Anderson in play already? How much does that come into the whole thing?
Tim Anderson's a really nice guy. We've had him on the show, and he's a nice player. If Tim Anderson is what's keeping Manny from getting signed, that's insane.
Is Manny Machado a better shortstop or a better third baseman? Where does he help your team?
Manny Machado is a far more impactful player than Tim Anderson will ever
be. Where does the team look better if you have Machado right now?
Do you want him or not?
Where does he look better?
I would rather.
Are you
going to
let
him?
Base. Is it kind of like letting your kids set their own bedtime and that kind of thing? You're just letting him pick whatever he wants.
He comes to you and says, "Hey, guess what? I'll sign your deal. I'll turn the Yankees shorter deal down. I'll take your money. I'm playing shortstop." What are you saying?
You got to figure it out. Then you got to figure out if obviously you've been pursuing him that long, you're going to make the move.
What would you?
And
do?
Tim understands
it comes
that too.
Down to negotiating. Now, Rick Renteria did say to us right before Sox Fest that in the conversation that he had with Machado, that Machado was willing to do whatever it takes, he would play third base. That's what Rick Renteria said.
At least that's what he's saying. Yeah.
That's what he's saying. What's the reality? I don't know. What's going on behind the scenes with Dan Lozano and these owners and the GM? I don't know. But that's what Renteria told us. We're going to find out. In a week or two, we're going to find out where he signs and what position he's going to play. But until now, we are just speculating. But it's a great dynamic to try to figure out and solve.
If you were the White
Manny?
Sox.
Oh, if I'm the White Sox?
And the phone rings, it's Dan Lozano.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, all right, San Diego's at, pick a number, 250.
Sure.
You guys are at 250. San Diego's letting him play short, but he'd rather play with his buddies.
Yeah.
You make him your shortstop, you've got him. I'll commit tonight.
Tim Anderson can either play in the outfield or he can be loaned out to the Bulls because I think he's actually a very good basketball player.
Or you can play him at second.
Sure, somewhere. But I was just looking at Tim Anderson's offensive numbers the other day. He can play left field or he
exactly.
can be moved around.
Okay, there's also this, and it's, you have to consider this in the whole negotiating process. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Padres. They have Fernando Tatis Jr. White Sox fans know all about him. He is going to be, he's supposed to be, their future shortstop. They're going to have the same conversation that the White Sox are having. Are they going to move Tatis over to third? So the Sox are probably thinking the same thing. Well, the Padres are in the same boat then as we are. The only team that I can see that who might give him shortstop the soonest would be, yes, the Yankees. Because Gregorius is on the DL. He's only signed for one more year.
But they signed Tulowitzki to give him the opportunity.
Although at minimum salary.
So.
I'm not going to let a $500,000.
No. That's
in the way of me getting Manny.
But this is part of the puzzle. This is what makes this seem this kind of fascinating. You just remove yourself from it is the position part. The teams. The money.
Here's the
market.
Other thing. If all of a sudden they announce tonight, oh, my God, Bryce Harper's going to the Giants or the Padres. Do the Phillies then, whose owner has come out and said, hey, I'm going to spend stupid money, go, okay, the Sox are at 250, I'm at 275. We'll go to 275, sure. I'm at 300.
That's why Machado's waiting for that exact scenario, isn't
it? Right, and then also.
But do the Phillies do that? They've had a great offseason, right? They made a lot of good additions. Do they go nuts? Is Machado their guy or is Harper their focus? And they're like, okay, if he goes, we'll go to a certain limit on Machado, but not past that.
All right, so people watching in Philadelphia, I'm sorry I'm going to say this. But if you are Bryce Harper and you're Manny Machado, and this is your chance to sign this long-term deal, do you want to live in Philadelphia for 7 years versus L.A., San Francisco, Chicago?
What is wrong with Philadelphia?
I'm comparing it to the other cities.
I like Philly.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not a fan. Yeah.
I like Philly. I like Philly.
Our great producer, Tom Cooper, is taking offense with you.
Saying this because – because Tom just said to cut my mic.
Hey, crew, they would like to have his mic removed.
I mean, look, if NBA player...
I'm speaking as a Chicago native, all right? I'm not from Philadelphia. My apologies to everyone in Philadelphia. But I'm just saying, if you... And I'm not just saying just Chicago's the answer. I'm saying if you are Bryce Harper, who's from the West...
Yeah.
Okay?
The LA thing I get. But also, I think if NBA players are willing to play in Oklahoma City, I think it just proves professional athletes... They want the best situation. They want the most money, the best chance to win, and market themselves.
Correct.
All of them, really?
Give me an example of a guy in his prime who said, I heard the housing situation
is in Oklahoma City.
I'm not saying everybody. How old's Paul George?
I don't know. What's he, 28?
Okay. Prime of his career.
Okay. He's an example of, yes, that
do
is
you have
true.
An example
Kevin
of the other
Durant,
thing.
Well, where did he do? He left.
I think that was because he wanted some jewelry.
He went to the super team.
Well, I would go there too. But
and he's living in San Francisco. So there you go.
Yeah, San Francisco's a good. That's the city.
I think if you're banking on the whole Chicago is an awesome place to live, you got to bank on something else.
All right. That's my high take for the show.
Okay. We need more. It's chilly here.
Away from just talking about Manny and Bryce, there are some really encouraging signs from this team that they're awakening from their slumber. Would you agree?
I would hope so. You know, Lucas Giolito, he's talked to extensively today. What's the term, neuro?
Oh, what was that?
Yeah. I wrote it only 8 times in my story.
I can't think what I
would have written it. Anyway, he went to
neurofeedback.
Neurofeedback, thank you. The miracle of the IFB.
Miracle of Tom Cooper.
Yeah, so thanks, Tom. So, you know, what it means is, look, Lucas Giolito has a lot of ability. 6'6" guy, threw 100 miles an hour in high school. But had the highest ERA among AL starters last season. So there's a lot, obviously some mental issues there. So he's been analyzed, and he's hoping it'll help him be more confident and not get into these ruts, especially early in games.
Another guy that I think you're going to see better things from, Carlos Rodon, because he's not rehabbing any longer.
That's a key
thing. He's training as a baseball player.
Yeah, he's had an off season to just focus totally on baseball work. And I would guess, barring something surprising, he's going to be their opening day starter. And he showed flashes last year of being that number one type guy, that he could be, you know, a top of the rotation. Maybe not number one, but top of the rotation type of guy. He faded a little bit down the stretch, but he had put a lot of work in just to get back. So, yeah, his stuff is there. The makeup is there. And I think you're right that having an offseason to not worry about doing this and this to get healthy and get into rehab now is just, you know, maintenance stuff and just focus on baseball is a key thing for him.
Yeah, I mean, his velocity wasn't there like we expected it. I think
shoulders are a lot tougher to come back from than elbows.
Yeah, and I think we just collectively assumed he'd be right back to where he was, and he wasn't. So he has yet to speak here at Glendale to get his thoughts. He was not at Sox Fest, but I think that he just felt like last year he was not fully himself. Hopefully he'll be that here.
But he did show stretches of being, he had an 11, was it 11 start
stretch there?
He did.
He had that right. one time, but I even then, I think he was kind of fooling guys. Mm. He wasn't pitching as well as he really thought he could have, and then he really hit it, went to a tailspin.
I also interviewed Michael Kopech today.
Yeah.
Had him on radio, and he said he's finally back in the weight room because he's been under restrictions.
He left the weight room? That is incredible when you see
right.
him.
Right. He's a beast.
Oh.
And he said, I'm finally starting to put a little bit of weight back on the plates. He said, it's just, he loves it. It's a drug to him. He loves weightlifting, and the doctors with the elbow said, got to be very careful. He also said that the guy from the White Sox training staff who has been assigned to him, the days he feels best, they will not let him throw off the flat ground. He said, because you'll push it.
Yeah.
The days you're a little creaky,
yeah.
we could start to play a little bit.
It's funny. I was talking to Dylan Cease today, and Dylan Cease had Tommy John surgery a bunch of years ago. So I asked him, I said, hey, are you giving any advice to Kopech? And he pretty much turned it around and said, I see Kopech. I say, hey, man, what should I be eating and doing? They revere him.
He's unbelievable.
One of the most interesting athletes I've covered in the 17 years I've covered the Sox, and that very open, very direct guy. Yeah. I was talking to him in the offseason, and he told me about, you know, the crazy path he had last year where he had the yips at the beginning of last year. Very into meditation. You know, has battled some anxiety issues, which he's very open to talk about and encourages people to talk about. I mean, really a guy that I think the Sox are going to be able to hang their hat on in the future going forward.
All right. Now, the Pecota projections came out, and the people who root for the North Side team, the Chicago Cubs, none too pleased with Baseball Prospectus. They revised them again yesterday, and the Cubs, 80-82, last place in the NL Central. Joe Maddon was asked his thoughts.
Who knows, why or how that they arrive at that stuff. It really means nothing. It really does mean nothing. You got to go out and play the game. You got to compete. I have zero interest in something like that.
They picked you guys with 80 victories and last in the Central.
That's cool. I guess that they want to be different, right? they want to get some publicity, I guess. I think we all know what we have in this clubhouse, but baseball is baseball. It might happen, but I'm betting on it won't happen. So I don't think we'll do that. So next question.
All right, so let me give you the Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Where will the Cubs finish in the NL Central? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. NBCSportsChicago.com/vote and weigh in. I will tell you, Fangraphs just released their 2019 projection. They have, and by the way, Pecota has the Brewers winning the division. Mm. Fangraphs has the Brewers finishing in dead last and the Cubs winning the division.
What's up with these computers?
I don't know.
Who's feeding them?
I have no idea.
80 wins for the Cubs.
80-82. The Brewers winning the division at 88 or 89 wins. And then Fangraphs has the Cubs 88-74, winning it by two games over the Cardinals, and the Brewers dead last at 73-89.
Well, that division is going to be a battle. I mean, the Reds improved. I mean, it's five good teams there, but I think people kind of forget that the Cubs did win 95 games last year.
With Bryant injured and Darvish gave them one
and
win,
literally,
and Chatwood nothing.
What did they hit? They didn't hit it all the last 5 weeks of the season,
right.
Basically including the play-in or the division game against the Brewers and the playoff game against the Rockies. So I think if they're healthy and they get and if they appear to be healthy and get some production out of Darvish and Bryant's back to the form, it's still a really good baseball team. I mean, in a really good division with a lot of good baseball teams.
Joe Maddon should love this because it sets him up to win Manager of the Year
right.
in what could be his final year, if he can exceed the Pecota by 10 or 12
years. Go to the playoffs, and if they got beat in the first round, or he would have gone to the playoffs five straight years in a five-year contract and might lose his job.
I know. I think it's absurd. I think also, they have a new network. I think he's brilliant programming. But I want to hear from Merck's computer. Merck, don't you have the White Sox winning 105 this year?
No, 93, I think.
93, yeah. Conservative. Okay.
Yeah. No, I haven't put it through the computer yet.
Well, that same computer has the White Sox winning 70.
Right.
And, this was – I don't want to go back to the White Sox conversation, but I feel like this computer with Baseball Prospectus has been hacked. There's something wrong with this computer.
Wait, you have for the White Sox?
Yeah.
I don't even want to answer that question. I seriously don't answer it. Even on opening day, I don't like answering that question. But now, I mean, who knows? How can you put a win total on a team with – we don't even know who's going to be on this team. Let's wait on that. Pekota, hold your horses. Are you kidding me? Another hot take.
What do you
hot
think for Cubs and Sox? You're probably ready to project the next 5 years here.
Yeah, that's what I do, right? I just take hot takes all the time. As the Cubs sit right now, I think they're an 88-90 win team. Something like that. I don't.
Not better? Why are they seven?
Because they're an easier team to predict in my eyes. Because you.
I know you what know the roster.
Yeah, they're pretty much
aside
the same team.
That's fine.
Bullpen
Jesse Chavez, they might pick up.
Yeah.
That's the team. Now, if they're healthy, that should be a team that wins 88-90 games. Not more. The division is maybe the best in baseball. Top to bottom.
They certainly need Schwarber and Contreras to have better offensive seasons.
No question about it.
And Russell, we'll see about Addison.
Is Addison Russell going to be on the team? Is Javi Baez going to be at second? And Addison Russell at short? Is Javi at short? And then who's your second baseman? Is it Ian Happ? Is it Ben Zobrist, Ian Happ, Daniel Descalso? What are you doing?
Good players, though.
Isn't Brian, the biggest thing of all? I mean, he's got to be healthy.
He's a huge Darvish.
Darvish is important, but, I mean, Bryant last year with the basically one arm, right?
Right.
I mean, just didn't produce.
I watched him swing, and when he was injured last year, they had him keep both hands on the bat to take the torque off the left shoulder. And he is back to swinging where his hand comes off and driving the baseball. Says he's 100%.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
He's going to be so highly motivated. I mean, can you imagine what a year like that does for him?
Now, here's the other question. As guys go through free agency, John Lester was very critical yesterday, saying, we got two generational players out there in Manny and in Bryce. He goes, and I think it sucks that they don't have a gig, and there's 60 to 80 guys sitting at home that don't have jobs that are major league caliber players. So does a guy like Chris Bryant revise his thoughts and go, hey, you know what, I had a good year, I'll sign an extension. Javi Baez, Wilson Contreras, Kyle Schwarber. There's a whole lot of guys that maybe sign. I heard Arenado's close to getting his deal done. Aaron Nola signed yesterday. Things are changing.
But it's also year to year, and the CBA is what, 20
years? 21.
21. Yeah. So that changes things too, right? But you're right. I mean, if Arenado is a huge deal, not just the future, but now, right?
Correct.
I mean, if they announce Arenado in the next couple of days, that could be something that Machado and Harper look at as well. And that also takes teams that maybe are waiting next year to go after Arenado, maybe say, okay, now we're going to go after – now we want Machado.
Correct.
You know, so, I mean, it influences everything now and in the future.
If I'm a pitcher, and granted I'm a sportscaster, and it's easy for me to say if I'm a pitcher.
Did you ever pitch?
I did.
Okay.
Flossmore Little League.
Gotcha.
Did you go home or Flossmore?
Chicago.
Chicago Heights?
I'd retired by the time I got to Flossmore.
Okay. Where was I going with this? If I'm a pitcher, I'm doing what Chris Sale did. I'm doing what Jose Quintana did. I'm signing the team-friendly deal. I have generational wealth. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not going all the way to free agency.
Sale left a lot of money.
Every year.
Anthony Rizzo.
Every year we came into spring training and said to Sale, you know, Kershaw just signed this deal.
Yeah.
So-and-so just signed this deal. He's like, I knew what I was getting into. Everyone told me what was there, what was available in the future. I'm happy with what I have. So that's the key thing.
He's
got to be happy with what you have.
He was a guy that not too long ago when he was in a Sox uniform, we were told, I was here when they said, he's probably going to move to the bullpen. He's got some issues with his elbow. And the next thing you know, he's the next big thing in the game.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Chuck's point earlier about guys picking a city, I think that does hold for players who are already there. A guy like Chris Bryant, maybe he just loves his teammates, loves the atmosphere, thinks there's no place where I can win better, and that's why he would resign.
And reportedly, Mike Trout, we were told yesterday by someone who has worked with him extensively off the field, he said, I love Anaheim. I want to stay right there, and I'm hoping I can get a deal then and never test free agency.
There you go.
Interesting. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We've got a lot more to do. These two are going to fight about Michigan and Northwestern. We've got hockey. We've got baseball, basketball, a lot to talk about. But we are coming to you from Arizona here on Sports Talk Live.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.